Travis.
Travis Lulay.
He's awesome.
Yeah, I love this guy.
He's real.
You know you like him.
Loves the outdoors.
He's out there, all out, every game.
You gotta like that.
Look at him.
Always looking to land the big catch.
He's after it.
Articulate.
He's a winner.
Champion.
He's got a great cup.
He's the real deal.
Yeah, you gotta love this guy.
CFL on TSN. You need to see these guys play.
Don't forget, Mike Richards in the morning.
1, 2, 3. We're the Argo Cheerleaders, and you're listening to the Candace Frank Live Show. We're the Argo Cheerleaders, and you're listening to the Candace Frank Live Show. Yay! Go Frank! Go Frank! Go Frank! There you go, Frank.
On Rouge Radio. You know, it's hard to say both when you know neither. So here's another commercial.
CO2. Chad Owens. Favorite player ever. He's from Hawaii. He's playing in the Great White North.
He's not just good. He's real good.
He's into MMA.
From the gridiron to the octagon. He's got game. This is his game.
He's the total package.
He's got the hard one.
He's got a great cup. He's a family man, team player, dedication to the max.
True blue through and through.
I love watching this guy.
He's a highlight waiting to happen.
CFL on TSN. You need to see these guys play.
Don't forget, Mike Richards, TSN 1050, every morning.
Represent my team,
my province,
and my fellow fans
with honor and pride,
and inspire the next generation
of the Rider Nation.
Green is my color.
Football is my game.
This is my pledge.
This is my pledge.
This is my pledge.
There's an unwritten code in Hamilton. If you live by it, chances are you've replaced the last beer in a cooler. You don't talk during the national anthem. You believe that great things can come from a little room above a fruit stand. You know Mac is a university, not a computer. Your child's first words were Oski Wee Wee. You know a red hat looks good with black and gold, and understand that double blue only looks good on the police. You believe hot water isn't a necessity for the visitor's dressing room. You've hit every green light on Main Street twice. You believe there's a little general in all of us. You only wear your good hard hat to games. You know King Kong was more than an ape, he was a five-time All-Star. You've parked on somebody's lawn to catch a kickoff. You know that Porter is a quarterback, not a bellhop. You've worn a kilt to a football game. You understand that every once in a while you have to be the center. You believe a football team can outlast 22 prime ministers, 2 world wars, a great depression, and still give birth to a pearl. You've worn a garbage bag as a raincoat. You've never seen a fair catch. You pick a concession line not based on how long the line is, but how hot that cashier looks. You understand that Labor Day is more than an extra day off. And no matter what happens on the field, your season is a success if you beat the Argos.
Hello, Kent speaking.
Hey, Kent, how you doing, buddy?
Doing good, how about you?
Not bad, not bad, not bad. So, here we are, you and I, never met before, and I'm looking at information about you, Kent, and man, you've got a lot of goals in your life, and you've really bitten off quite a chunk. Give us a, short version of why you got so deeply involved in scouting, and your scouting goes from kids going into college, from kids in college going to the pros, basketball, football. How did it all start for you?
That's a good question. One of the key moments in my life was working as a basketball coach in Alberta, and working with a kid coming out of a rural area who still is the best shooter that I've ever worked with, and had the pleasure of having on my team. This is a kid that you said, you know, go out there and I need two baskets, and he would come back with two baskets, easy. And yet he couldn't get a sniff from a college at all, and kept getting the runaround. And so he was actually the first project that we started working on was trying to get him some college attention, and threw it out. And through that, that process just led to uncovering even more of these guys. Everywhere we looked around, there was another kid that was, you know, a fantastic player, but because he wasn't in the big city, he was getting overlooked. And at best, they were getting the word that, oh, you can come and try out in the fall, but, you know, if they didn't end up on that 12-man roster, they weren't going to get a scholarship, and it was too late to go somewhere else. So that's what really got me going in it, was kind of rooting for the underdog and trying to give exposure to kids that otherwise weren't getting it.
Well, let's be clear, and I'm going to help you out in describing what you do, because I've had the good fortune of spending a lot of time reading about you, and I'm not sure we have enough hours tonight to discuss what you do, but I'm going to try and short form it. It's real simple. A resume means anything in the work world. Your resume says everything about you that you want to be said, if it is prepared properly with the intention of the person who's reading it being interested in what they're reading. And that's the important part here, is making the connection between what makes the person whose resume is on a desk being desirable, even though they're, you know, they may not be as desirable. Always a best foot forward, if you will. I know I don't want to say that the stuff you put together is untrue, but the point is, and the reality is you have to put your best foot forward, and you have a system for doing that, don't you?
For sure, for sure. You know, we strive to help as many kids as we can, laying out advice for them. If they, you know, for some, the recruiting process is such a daunting task that, you know, they're a little more in depth and bring us on to kind of manage their campaign, as it were. You know, if you want to even put it in as pretty much it's the equivalent of a PR campaign for a company.
Absolutely is.
Is what we're trying to build. And so we're taking these guys, and, you know, one of the biggest things is that for a lot of these families, you know, it's not like they've got, you know, 12 sons that are all looking to play college football, and by the 12th one, they've mastered the whole gamut of how to get recruited. We're dealing with people that this is a one-off thing, and you know, the list of, I mean, going to the NCAA, the rule book is over 350 pages long. You know, people just don't have time to get that in depth into what's going on. And that's where we want to step in and kind of bridge that gap.
Well, you basically, again, I'm going to use, you know, terminology that I understand, and I hope will help the listeners understand. We're talking about being recruited for dummies. It's just that simple. I mean, you know, it's very easy for people to think that talent is enough to get you what you're looking for, especially from the high school to the college level. There are a lot of, you know, things that college recruiters are looking for. And if you know what they're looking for and you can point, see, it's not about lying. It's just like when my daughter said to me, Dad, I got to make a resume. They're asking me if I have any leadership skills. Well, were you the supervisor or were you the leader in that group at Girl Guides? Yeah. Well, you have those skills. It's just about understanding what skills you have, because you don't even realize what skills you have or what abilities you have that may make you recruitable. I guess that's just another way of explaining it.
For sure. For sure. That's a quality way to lay that out for them, too.
And it's important, you know, because let's be honest, as much as we think people have been thinking for years about being recruited or, let's go the next step, drafted, it does kind of sneak up on you, doesn't it? Even though it seems like you would think that people have all the time in the world to think about this, it's amazing how quickly everything happens and how overwhelmed the parents are or the guardians or even the player themselves are in the process of advancing their career, whether it be in college or pro.
For sure. It is once you hit that top of that slide, you're zipping down. And, you know, from the first day of high school, you know, and even in most of Canada, you've got a mindset where, you know, high school starts at grade 10 and you're already a year behind. In the States, they've already been heavily moving forwards to this recruiting dream starting in grade 9. So you're already a year behind if you're planning on making that jump to the NCAA. And, you know, one of the reasons behind that is you got these kids that it's just so competitive when it comes down to the NCAA. For example, you know, if you're in Alberta and you want to play football after high school, you have two options that come with books, and that's the University of Calgary and University of Alberta. And you got three options that come without books, and that's the three junior teams. And then to compare that, where I am right now down in Tennessee, within 30 minutes of my house here, I have three universities that play Division I football. And, you know, the mindset is incredibly different, because the competitive edge on the school side is so high. You know, they're not competing against another school across the province. They're competing against another school across the street. And so they're looking, they're trying to get that edge, you know. I once saw a statistic talking about the likelihood of a recruit going with the first school that made a in-person visit to them. And the number was astronomical. It was, I believe it was over about 55%. And so when you get these schools, when they start thinking about stuff like that, it's like, oh, if I could be the first school to meet this kid face-to-face, then we're going to get him. He's going to be – he'll commit to us no problem. In Canada, I tend to see that the schools, because, you know, we got 27 CIS schools and we've got 20,000 Canadian high school football players. As you can tell, the competition level for that freshman roster spot is pretty tough. And a lot of the kids don't realize it. They don't realize that the number is that large. And so they're just waiting around for this school to come visit them. And they need to be proactive. They got to be on the ball starting early, for sure.
Yeah, so when you refer to an NCAA school that reaches the athlete first, getting a 50% chance, remember, we have to frame it in the idea that you have a lot of schools that eventually visit that student, like what, about 10, 15 on average?
Oh, yeah. Recently, a Canadian quarterback that's actually doing his high school football down in the States, Michael O'Connor, I believe in the end he ended up with 18 official offers, and he's decided that he doesn't want to, you know, waste the time. So he's already committed to Penn State. Now, of course, because it's a year early, he's still a high school senior. That commitment can still change. It's not locked in stone, but you know, he had 18, at least 18 offers, written offers in his hand to pick from. So, yeah, if you're a top guy that people are looking at, you're probably, you know, dead on. You're probably in that range where you'll get between 10 and 15 offers, or at least situations where they're interested enough that you know, maybe they haven't officially offered you, but they're definitely interested in you, and if they think that you actually would accept, they'd probably, you know, extend the offer to come play for them. So it's a lot of research and a lot of work for sure for these guys, and you know, you have to make sure that the school fits. You know, if you want to be a doctor, they better have a medical program. If you want to be, you know, they just have to match. A couple of years ago, I was working with a high school quarterback just outside of Calgary, and, you know, again, a rural guy that didn't get a lot of publicity, played in a program that mostly ran the ball, so he didn't have a lot of highlight film, but a quality quarterback, by all means, but he wanted to be an engineer. And in Canada, you know, when you only had, at that point, you only had 26 schools in the CIS before Carleton came back here. He only had a couple of options, really, that matched his academic goals. And, you know, if he wasn't paying attention and you know, just kind of took the offers that were coming in, he could have ended up at a school that didn't have the programs he wanted. So there's a lot of things to consider as you're walking through that minefield, for sure.
Yeah, and to finish the thought about the 50% chance that the first school that reaches a prospective recruit or an athlete gets over 50%, that leaves a mere three, for example, in that quarterback you were referring to, a little less than 3% for the other 17 teams. So it's important and competitive from the school aspect to reach the athletes. And because of that, what you're alluding to and what I'm hearing is it's important that the kid not be rushed into making a decision unless they're assured and understand, you know, that when they go to that school, is their educational and academic, you know, requirement met by that school, not primarily, but as part of the, you know, the decision-making process.
Yeah, for sure. It's something that we stress to each and every player we end up talking to, either through our recruiting seminars or when we actually get brought in by a family to kind of help them through a situation. Is, you know, I want them to take and write out their dream list of schools, but then on the next list, I want them to write out their dream list of courses that they want to take too. And then we try to marry that all together and find the perfect fit. And then we have to convince that perfect fit that he's a perfect fit for them. So there's a lot of steps to it for sure.
How about a tough question? You ready for a tough question, Kent? Are you sitting down?
Sure. You betcha.
Okay.
Throw them at me.
Okay, you ready? Okay, 3, 2, 1. How hard is it to say no to someone that you can't help them? And that maybe, I don't, do you run into that situation?
Sometimes you do. Usually the hard part is the other way, is the other side of the coin. A lot of times, you know, we review their film, you know, we check out some of their games and we go, okay, well, this is kind of where I think you fit. A lot of times we'll end up with them coming back at us and saying, no, I think we're better than that. And so sometimes you just, you know, you got to let them go with what they're, you know, where they think they're at. You know, we usually recommend at that point in time, you know, here's a great camp. This will be a good situation for you to figure out exactly where you truly are. You know, don't just take my word for it. Go out and get in front of some more coaches and see what they think too. But, you know, usually when we come into the situation, they usually we don't have to say no, I guess is the best way to put it. If they're serious enough about their recruiting to contact us, probably 99 out of 100 are good enough to be playing at the next level. It's just figuring out exactly what level that's going to be.
Well, actually, by the way you answered the question, I'm satisfied, and I can't speak for anybody who's listening to the program, but I am satisfied that you do have a plan B for players who maybe need to redetermine, if you will, or reassess their ability and the position they actually believe they're in. I'm glad to hear that you have a common sense approach, which basically says, look, you know, get a second opinion. You know, it's not a problem. We're still here. It sounds like you don't bail on the person. It just sounds like you want them to adjust their thinking to be more realistic.
For sure. And sometimes it's just as simple as getting out of their home region. When you're that high school quarterback that they've been talking about since you were playing in Bantam, and all the coaches in your area, they know about you and they know what you can do. It's really easy to start buying into that. Okay, so I'm the best quarterback in this region. You know, that must mean that I'm, you know, this level quarterback. And when they hear somebody say, well, you know, actually, you're probably a notch down if you have to be a quarterback. You know, you might be that level if you want to switch positions. And not everybody really wants to hear that. But I totally recommend, you know, hey, get out of your home region. Go somewhere where they go, you know, who are you and what position do you play? Instead of being the kid that shows up at camp and everybody goes, oh, it's that kid and he's this and he's that. You know, you come along on the road with us. We had this past fall, we had a player fly out from BC to our Calgary combine. And for him, it was a great experience to see, hey, you know, here I am. Nobody in this building knows who I am. I can say my high school name, and most of them will just give me a blank look. And, you know, so I'm coming in and being completely impartial and seeing where I stack up with these kids that otherwise I'd never play against. And for him, I think it was a great experience to get some exposure with some university coaches that maybe, you know, wouldn't have seen him play otherwise. And I think in the end it turned out to be a great experience for him.
We're talking to Kent Ridley, and he has a company called Ridley Scouting. In fact, Kent is making some moves that he is looking forward to in the future. Why don't you share with us some of the activity that you are entering into and some of the changes and moves forward you're making at this time?
For sure, yeah, it's exciting. It's a great move. We've got a media company by the name of Sports A that is launching on Canada Day, of course. If you got a name like Sports A, then you've got to be tied into Canada Day somehow. And so they're creating a brand new media exposure that's going to cover high school football and basketball, especially at the beginning. And from there, we're working with Top Prospects Canada, which is owned and operated by Shamari Williams. And he's created and maintains the largest database of football players in the country, and we're working on building the basketball side of things with him as well. And then where we come in, we've got a group of, give or take a couple here and there that kind of drop in and out. We've got a group of about 20 scouts covering football and basketball, and we put together the ranking lists and the star ratings for all these prospects that are in the Top Prospects database. And from that database, we've got coaches from across the country and in down into the U.S. that are reviewing players on their profiles there and using it as a major recruiting tool.
And it is a major recruiting tool. You guys statistically are unparalleled, especially Shamari and also your draft guide that you have. Statistically, it basically, if you are a person who is curious about how Canadian quarterbacks fare in the draft, this guide will give you a good indication how hard it is to be a Canadian quarterback by virtue of how many get drafted using this guide and the records of all the teams that have drafted in the Canadian Football League. It really is eye-opening.
Yeah, we're really proud of our draft guide. It's really grown over the last couple of years, and you know, we started off with a little 13-page. I don't even know if it was big enough to be called a booklet at that point. You know, more like a 13-page pamphlet that we started with, and we've grown into a comprehensive guide that covers just a ton of aspects of the game. We review over 70 prospects each year, and next year we're going to have to bump that up with Ottawa coming in, and you know, it's something we've really, I guess we show a lot of our pride is tied into that book, and the coverage that we've developed in there, and kind of tracking where teams are looking, you know, in the team sections there. You know, if you're a fan of BC, you can see what positions they've drafted in the past, and even to know, you know, hey, are we a team that hangs on to our first-round picks, or we trade them off? Or it's a great way to kind of get back in tune, especially with the long off-season in Canada. You know, from the end of November to, well, till now, is just a crazy period of time. It takes so long to get through there, and sometimes you forget where your guys were sitting, you know, only a few months ago. But
I think we
love the time that everybody's tied at 0-0. I guess that's our favorite time of the year.
Well, it is the time of year where most of the hope it develops, right? You know, it is not only a comprehensive guide; it is all encompassing as well. It'll also give you an indication for those of you that are CFL fans that like to follow how your team thinks. For example, it is common knowledge among the experts that the Montreal Alouettes believe in having Canadian offensive linemen. And this guide points at it and then shows factually and historically that they actually do try to do that by virtue of how they draft. It's actually a very interesting guide. I wish I had more time to look at it, which I will after this show. So the benefit of me looking at it later won't be here, Kent. I'll have to have you back on so I can ask more questions and I can quiz you about it.
For sure. Anytime you want me on, I'll be around.
Absolutely, Kent. Now, you touched on Shamari Williams. Now, we all know that name. It's not a name that's hard to forget. It is an easy name to remember. He is a former CFL player. You referred to his prospects database. He and you both understand the CFL, right? And this comes from people with experience and a lot of time spent with the CFL.
For sure. And I'll catch you on one thing. He's only a former player in Saskatchewan. He's still alive and well, going strong in Hamilton there.
Well, I didn't want to say that because I'm an Argo fan. As far as I'm concerned, he doesn't exist.
Well, all the Argo brethren will be hollering at him on Labor Day for sure.
And so will I. No, all kidding aside. I was just kidding. And yeah, he's a wonderful player. And I meant it when I said he has a name that's hard to forget, and he has skills that are hard to ignore. And at the end of the day, that's what this is all about, right? It's about matching skills with schools. How's that for a comment?
Exactly. And he's also a prime example of the dedication that it takes to get to that level. Shamari is a guy who left, you know, graduated high school in Ontario. And there's, you know, in Ontario, you got the big rivalry between the Brampton guys and the Windsor guys as to who has more pro football players. And he's full on the Brampton side. And but he didn't get his offer right away. So he ended up having to go into Quebec. He got recruited into a CJEP school there and played his time there until he could get his offer down to Houston. And working with an individual that's worked that hard to get his scholarship, it makes it so much easier when you start talking to these kids who look at him and go, oh, well, you know, of course you got recruited. You know, you're a number one CFL draft pick, and all of this. And then he goes, well, wait a minute. You know, there was a lot of hard work here. There was, you know, traveling down to the States to go to camps. There was, you know, doing everything possible to try to get that scholarship to a Division I school. You know, he laid out the goal and he followed through, ended up with his offer to Houston, graduated in 3 years through his program, ended up transferring over to Queens and, you know, won a Vanier Cup there. You know, he's got that impressive resume that these kids are able to look up. You know, they see it online, and then they're also able to respect him for all the hard work that he put in.
Oh, absolutely. And just to prove that I'm not a Hamilton Tiger Cat basher, I was just kidding. Ryan Hines, I'm talking to you. Happy birthday, buddy. He was a guest on one of my shows. So I have nothing against Hamilton Tiger Cats. I think the Hamilton Tiger Cats, I'm a CFL lover. I do this program strictly for the reason that I love the CFL. And unfortunately, I live in Toronto where people, you know, are so busy with so many other things that the excitement of and the fervor that the CFL has to offer isn't really experienced in Toronto. And I'm part of a group, a fan base. We sit in Section 134B. We're called the Argo Lifers. And what we do is we are trying, along with John Granger, trying really hard to raise the profile of excitement that can be had at the football game. While you're working out getting the best possible talent to the games, we're trying to appreciate it at a level that it deserves. So you have an ally in as far as, and so does Shamari, and as I said, Ryan Hines, we love and respect these players, and I just jibe them because, unfortunately, I'm double blue. Unfortunately.
You know, and the bragging rights, you know, at least for this year, they're sitting there full, you know, right in front for all of you Argo fans. you know, coming off of a Grey Cup, that's something. Being able to say it's your 16th Grey Cup win, you know, that's another big, you know, feather in the cap. And, you know, it's been a while since Toronto led the league in average attendance, but, you know, I'm a CFL history lover, and I look at those crowds that they were drawn in at Exhibition Stadium, and, you know, I wish that same crowd was still there today, and I'd love to see them hit it, you know. I'd love to see Sky Dome just pack full, you know, and I still call it Sky Dome.
Absolutely.
I can't call it the other name. And, you know,
and
I'd love to see.
We're brothers from a different mother. Because that's what I call it. I can't bring myself to call it the Rogers Center either. I keep calling it the Sky Dome, and I get razzed by people because they think I'm doing it by accident. It is totally intentional. I think like you, I wish things were the way they were. But, you know, let's be realistic. Just like when you're talking to that parent or that athlete, to bring it back to why you're here, we're with Kent Ridley. He is the Ridley scouting group, and you know, he works with Shamari, and Shamari is obviously a Tie Cat at this time, and you're listening to Candid Frank Live streamed on Rouge Radio. I want to thank most of all Jason Sperling for hooking us up. I truly respect and believe in what you're doing, and you need to be congratulated, because I can imagine, you know, financially speaking, to help prop up the talent in the CFL, you're not buying diamond crusted Mercedes.
No, there's none of those parked out front. we have four kids, so everything we drive has to have a double bench in the back. So,
welcome to the club, my friend. I have four daughters, so you want to have a tough life? Have four daughters. You understand what a tough life is. Four kids is the next toughest thing for sure.
Yeah, and my oldest son, he started playing football. We're down here in Tennessee right now, and he started playing football here last year. And so I can get him non-import status, but I got to work a little harder to get the other two boys non-import status. But we'll try to make that work as well, get them all drafted.
Were they born in Tennessee then? Is that the issue? What's the issue specifically?
Not enough years in Canada before we moved down. All of our kids were born in Canada, and then we kind of hit a point where it was my wife's a country singer, and so so the day came when it was like, you know what, just being in Tennessee is gonna be way more beneficial than having her fly down all the time. And so so we made the move down here so that she could kind of put down some stronger ties to the country music industry. And then instead of her being the one flying down, then I'm now the one flying back. But it works out. It works out well.
Hey, listen, I admire what you're doing. And, you know, I guess you guys chose to live near a town. What's that town called? Nashville.
Nash Vegas.
Is that what it's called? I'm just diving. I know. Hey, listen, I'm a hockey fan, so of course I know where Nashville is.
You betcha. And great tickets are available all the time.
Oh, you know, hockey in Nashville is like football in Canada. You get to see a really good game for a really reasonable price.
Yep, 100%. Growing all the time. So there's that little tie-in there, too. The Predators have decided to sink a lot of money into an old building and turn it into a rink. So they've got a lot of grassroots stuff going on here. They actually have a very good high school hockey program. The Tennessee State Championship is an exciting game. You know, it's not quite as quick as, say, you know, junior hockey in Canada. You know, if you can imagine a junior C game, it's probably pretty close to that now down here.
Yeah, but you're talking junior C in Alberta.
Yeah.
Your frame of reference, right?
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Which would be junior B in Ontario. They play pretty good hockey in junior C in Edmonton. in Alberta, anyway. Yeah,
When it came to a Friday night, you decided if you wanted to see goals or fights. And if you wanted to see goals, you went to a junior A game. And if you wanted to see fights, you went to a junior C game.
Exactly. Now, I'm glad we're both on the same page. Okay, enough about hockey. But we'll step aside from football momentarily just to grasp the difference between, you know, Southern Ontario is a boom basketball community. Am I right or am I wrong?
Totally. There's just huge untapped talent there. The national program is going to get fed out of there for quite a while.
There are a lot of people in the community here that love the game of basketball. It goes back to my youth and my Jewish friends in the Jewish community. It was their favorite sport. You know, it's the one they love playing. And anybody who has followed sports coming out of Israel, their basketball team is the most, you know, prolific in the country. Soccer's catching up. They even play ice hockey. But truthfully, basketball was one of the biggest sports. And we have a big Jewish community here. And I hate to make sports ethnic, but in fact, the reality is, it is, sports are ethnic. You know, the culture here in Southern Ontario is switching from, we just talked about how wonderful hockey is. Hockey's doing fine. Don't anyone even assume to predict that I'm saying hockey's in a terrible way because of Southern Ontario. But the variety of sports that are coming out of Ontario now, in Southern Ontario, where I live, and in this community, you've got cricket, you've got basketball, you've got soccer, you've got every sport international that you could possibly want. And when I say soccer, of course, I mean European football. Basketball, I had the good fortune of doing play-by-play for high school basketball going back 20-some-odd years ago. And I could see the change and the excitement and the fervor that there is with the game of basketball in Southern Ontario, the metro area. Like you mentioned, Brampton is very big with basketball. Where I grew up, the team was called the Bathurst Bears. And city-wise, I played for that. I played for the team. I was just a tiny little guard, you know, that the people would sneeze and knock me off them, right? But I loved playing, and it's a great game. So we're in good shape as far as talent's concerned in Southern Ontario. And there's a lot of work that you can do with a lot of players then?
Oh, for sure. You know, we're right now, basketball's at a high point, I would say, for where the growth has gone. We've got, between the men's and women's games, we've got over 150 players playing in the NCAA at a high level. Division One basketball, there's over 150 of them. CIS basketball has been very strong. And of course, you know, I mean, it's had its stronger programs over the years, especially right now with Carleton, the men's team there being so strong and dominant. But I would say, you know, the basketball product in Canada is incredibly high. And, you know, one of those key points that you see, you know, not to always take the NCAA as being, you know, the golden rod that you're, you know, everything else doesn't compare to. But when you see the NCAA teams using their summer trips to come up to Canada and play against the Canadian universities, that's a pretty good indication that they respect the game that's going on in Canada, and they respect the talent that's coming out. You know, you got a Gonzaga team that, you know, kind of loaded up on Canadian talent there for
absolutely
a number of years, and that'll continue. I happen to be wearing my Gonzaga shirt right now, and you know, great, good old Spokane, Washington. I love that town, and totally, you see these schools that are taking advantage of their Canadian connections, and they're succeeding, and that'll only, you know, spur the locomotive on even stronger, you know, following up. You know, seeing guys like Wiggins getting his scholarship to Kansas.
There you go.
Moves like that are going to be, you know, a lot of people, if you went back about 20 years, they would go, oh, well, of course he got a scholarship because he's the best one. And, you know, we'll invite him down and we'll welcome him with open arms. But now you see that door open and these top prospects coming out. But then the smaller schools are propping that door open and saying, is there anybody in there for me? You know, is there somebody that we could take and we could use? And I think you're gonna see that number continue to grow. It's not gonna slide down by any means at this point. And
absolutely,
we're getting more involved in basketball in Ontario. The Sports A guys have writers that are gonna be writing up games and kind of, you know, trying to follow along with some of these guys as they're going through their grade 12 year and, you know, kind of joining them on their recruiting experience. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing the progress out of these guys. There's a bright future there for sure.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, number one high school player in the United States. Oops, he's Canadian.
Yeah.
Oops, what happened there? A Canadian number one high school player. I mean, you know, Canadians are great athletes. I mean, baseball has, you know, MVPs, Canadian. Best hitter in baseball right now, Canadian. You know, so we know that Canadians have a lot of sports ability. The toughest part with Canadian sports is management. Management has been falling behind, and I don't mean to upset or anger Baseball Canada or Hockey Canada or Basketball Canada or whatever, but I'm just saying that it seems to me, and especially Soccer Canada, the athletes are far ahead of the organizations, and groups like yours that take individual players to help show them how to pursue their needs and what their dreams are and making them real is a necessary process. And you need to be congratulated for the work that you're doing.
Thank you for that. You know, we're totally committed to being an organization that wants to take that spotlight and say, you know, yes, the major centers are going to have major talent. But kind of where things are falling out is that you don't have to be from a major center to necessarily have that talent. One of my favorite stories is actually a lacrosse player, you know, out of the lacrosse hotbed called Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. You know, and everybody in Ontario is going, no, the lacrosse hotbed, like, that's right here.
Brampton that's again. Our guy. You're going Brampton again.
Yeah. You know, like, but you take David Mitchell and you pull him out of Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, you put him on a field, and he ends up playing 4 years at Cornell University. The talent is out there. And the teams may not be as strong necessarily, but the individual talent can be found everywhere. And so kind of one thing, you know, kind of a major goal of ours is to take these little lights all over the place, you know, put some power behind them and turn them into bright lights and really kind of come alongside these guys. I remember... one of my first scouting moments was...
That's me doing that. I apologize. I hit a button too soon. Okay, hang on a second. You're on a good thought. Aaron, is that you?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, Aaron, just hang on a second and let me allow, and I apologize, Kent. I hit a button too soon. I jumped the gun, and I apologize. So you were talking about... The reason I was thinking about the fellow that's on the phone right now is his name is Aaron William Freeland, and he's a statistician for the the Toronto Rock lacrosse team. And you were just talking about lacrosse, and I've been trying to get Aaron on. And to catch Aaron up, if you wouldn't mind, repeat the name of the player you were referring to. And we were talking football, we moved to basketball, and then you just started to touch on lacrosse. And Aaron, I'm sure, will know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, I was just referencing the career there of David Mitchell out of Saskatchewan. I believe in the NLL, I think it's Philadelphia that has his rights right now, but I might be wrong on that. My NLL reference or frame of reference is kind of a couple years old since being involved with the Roughnecks a little bit back in the old days.
No worries. Aaron is a diehard lacrosse fan, so go ahead. And so Mitchell's a kid that is a great talent, you know, and you also worked with him as well?
No. He was beyond my reach at that point. But he was definitely he's a player that I use as an example in a lot of my recruiting seminars about that you don't necessarily have to be in the big city to be the guy that gets discovered. You know, it's through hard work and attending camps and being proactive in your recruiting that can help you really move along
and put yourself out there.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so we're with Kent Ridley, Kent Ridley Scouting, and he works with Shamari Williams, top prospects, and also joining us now is Aaron William Freeland. He's my Friday night guy, and Aaron, by the way, I just wanted to mention to you, ready for this?
Yes, sir.
July, I think we agreed, well, we might agree, sometime in July, Kent's wife is going to be on our program, on our entertainment program on Friday nights when we talk about something other than sports. She is a country singer.
Kent, your wife's name is Allison, yes?
Sorry, I missed that.
Your wife's name is Allison, yes?
No, it's Jessica.
Jessica, okay, apologies. I was looking up different country singers. I'm like, oh, it's Allison. No, okay, excellent.
Forward to that, Frank. Either, from what I hear. If you ask Kent, Jessica's the best country singer there is around.
Hey, that's for sure. Before she started singing, I was just listening to sports radio. So, you know.
So now you're listening to country music.
Yeah, that's the only reason.
And Aaron's with me on Friday nights. We talk about lacrosse, the early part of the show, and then we move over to entertainment and news. And Jessica will be a perfect fit for the show, and I'm glad you and she are interested in having her on, and we look forward to that. But back to the topic, you're listening to Candid Frank Live, streamed by Rouge Radio, and if you're interested in placing some advertising on the program, Jason Sperling of Rouge Radio is more than glad to hear from you. We're talking, of course, to Kent Ridley, as far as scouting concerned, I don't think scouting's what we're talking about here tonight. Even though you may scout a player, I think more or less you're helping to make scouts aware of the players that you're working with. Now, we've touched on the basketball a little bit. If we can go back to the football, statistically, you know, the biggest question I have as a person who helps getting players recruited, let's talk about quarterbacks in the CFL and what kind of challenge you're up against in as far as, I don't know whether it's a challenge to bring them to the U.S. colleges, but I know it's a challenge to bring them to the CFL.
Totally. Just to clarify your question there, you're talking strictly a non-import quarterback.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Your non-import quarterback has a lot of hurdles in front of them. One of the major ones is the number of game situations he's been in by the time he is ready to graduate from his university. And so when you take an equivalent player, you know, if we take player A, player B, same talent level, raw skills, and you start back in high school, you know, he was starting quarterback from grade 11 all the way through. That American quarterback is going to have played more games and had to do the prepared work, the game planning, the setting up the schemes for each week. He's gonna have done that almost a full season more than the same quarterback in Canada, he'll do a full season more in his high school work. And he'll do another full season more in his university work because the seasons are just longer. You're coming through your game planning, your commitment level. There's just more to it. So if you took those same two players, you meet them together after their college careers are done. Player A from Canada, player B from the U.S. Player B will have more actual live experience. And that gives them an edge, just to be, 100% honest with everyone, that does give them an edge. Now, the other problem when you're talking about a non-import quarterback playing or competing in camp against another quarterback coming up from the States, usually that Canadian quarterback is about 2 to 3 years younger than the American. Sometimes that gap's a little closer, depending on if that quarterback's done his full 5 years of CIF. But you've got a quarterback, usually raw, straight out of college, and he's going up against an American quarterback who's done his college time, but he's also bounced around, and he's probably been in at least two, maybe three NFL camps by that point in time. So he's seeing the level of work and commitment that a pro needs to do, whereas that Canadian quarterback is just learning it. And
wow.
kind of the aspect to it is you've got that Canadian quarterback, once he's done that training camp, maybe he sticks around on the practice roster, maybe he doesn't, but if he doesn't, where does he go? These guys have no secondary place to spend a year or two, read defenses that are moving quicker than a university defense. He doesn't have a year to work with however many page playbook. You're talking about, in the NFL, you're talking about, 600 to 900 plays that they're working with. Whereas at university, even in the NCAA, you're working with, between 400 and 500 a lot of times. Just that step up. you know, there's no secondary level for these guys. And, you know, I'd love to see a situation where there was, you know, a Canadian indoor football league of some sort where these guys could go and play for a year or 2 years and then come back to a CFL camp. And I think you'd see a different product. I think you'd see a different guy returning back into there. The other thing I'd love to see, I'm not a big fan of the mandatory, every team has to carry a non-import quarterback, but I would like to see the quarterbacks integrated into the actual ratio. And I think if you were sitting that way, if you could put a Canadian and have him count against the ratio there, I think teams would, if they had a guy who was, you know, coming up to even against the number three quarterback that they had, I think they would take that chance. And at least they'd be rewarded for that chance. And so that I think that would kind of up the value there.
It sounds like a real challenge that other than I've become a firm believer of the point that there has to be a motivator to bring a Canadian quarterback so that the team's forced to invest time and effort in a Canadian quarterback to give him to help and honestly, because of what you said, to make up for the time lost, which may or may not seem fair to the CFL team or the league itself.
Yeah, for sure. It's you know, I read a quote from a coach, and for the life of me, I can't remember, you know, who he was. You know, I'm thinking it was like a Don Matthews kind of coach, you know, and saying, you know, we're not paid to develop these guys. These guys come to us ready, and we make them more ready. And so
right.
I think it's not really a situation where your number three quarterback is coming in to – you know, to learn how to be a quarterback. They need a level that they've already reached at that point. And so, you know, and that's, again, where a situation like a secondary league of top quality would be beneficial. You know, a couple of years ago we had a Canadian indoor football league proposed, you know, with some big names behind it, and you know, it just never seemed to get off the ground. And I'm hearing about another one in Ontario, but you know, I'm not sure if that'll ever get, you know, get more than where they're at right now. And I'd love to see that kind of scenario. You know, I'd love to see some CFL owners go, you know, hey, this is going to be beneficial for us if we could train up Canadian receivers and Canadian quarterbacks and Canadian safeties, linebackers, that kind of scenario. Let's throw them in an arena and let's have some fun during the winter and turn it into a farm system for the CFL.
At the end of the day, everything you're saying makes sense. But you know, the biggest problem in life is there the money to make it happen? And unfortunately, that seems to be the straw that stirs every drink when it comes to sports.
I don't mean to,
exactly
here, Kent, and I can appreciate the idea of putting a player into an indoor league before bringing them into the CFL, but there's one notable example that comes to mind when you think of an example where that didn't work, and I'm thinking of Michael Bishop.
Yeah,
you know, like
Michael.
I maybe he's the exception that proves the rule. I'm not 100% sure, but when he played for the Argonauts in 2002 to 2008, I wasn't all that impressed with the fact that he came out of the AFL. It didn't seem at all.
I can see that totally. And Bishop is a unique guy. You know, he was, if you follow his whole run in pro football, you know, he was ahead of Tom Brady on the Patriots depth chart for a full season, and then for him to have, you know, I mean, he's the CFL joke. You know, if you got an injured quarterback, well, Bishop's probably waiting by his phone for the call, and you know, he had all the tools. He had the arm, he had the mobility, the agility. I think in Toronto, he was kind of let down by perhaps how he was inserted into the program. You know,
it's entirely possible that they didn't have the right supporting cast for him. I will fully concede that. There were some lows in that particular time period, but
I can see your point.
The league, the AFL, moves light years faster than anything you're going to see in university or anything you're going to see in the CFL or even possibly sometimes the NFL. I mean, it's an incredibly fast league, but and I can see how it would definitely help players to develop. I'm just not 100% sold on it.
All right, that's
fair.
But really what we're talking about here is the point that was being made is that there are certain positions that benefit from the extra time in indoor football, and you were referring to linebackers, receivers, that kind of thing, and quarterbacks, you know, making the quick 10-yard pass, if you will. There's a value to indoor football. Is it valuable for every player in every team in every league? Absolutely not. And does it actually does a player who plays in indoor football because of his success, does it guarantee him a position in either the CFL or NFL? No. And like you said, Aaron, I agree with you 100%. I think Michael Bishop might be the exception that makes the rule as opposed to he's the rule. You know, there are times when just because a person has talent, ability, and opportunity doesn't necessarily mean they have success. So, you know, and that's one of the lessons that needs to be learned, and I think that's one of the lessons, if I'm not mistaken, Kent, that you need to be prepared to answer and or provide the individual that's coming for your assistance.
For sure, for sure. You know, and to take the arena one step farther, the arena league idea, the AFL has their well-run franchises and then their franchises that are run a lot like the 1996 Ottawa Rough Riders. And,
oh, boy.
And Toronto situation. You know, you've got some teams. You've got, like, the Spokane Shock, and I believe they're placing three or four players a year either into the CFL or the NFL out of their program. And so you can tell that the level of coaching there is you know, elite at a proper level. And then you've got some other programs in the Arena League that have come and gone and disappeared. You know, Toronto had their guys there for a blink in time. And you don't see the same results out of there. And so I think, you know, it comes down to the coaching of it. The coach in me says, when Bishop was with the Argos, I could have won with him. But that same coach in me says that when Stephen LaForce was with the Bombers, I could have won with him there too. And, you know, when you're looking at it as the eternal optimist when you're the coach.
There you go.
And again, back to the, you know, my favorite time of the year is when we're all at 0-0 because you're still undefeated. You still have that chance at the perfect season. And before the injuries start piling up, you know, then you don't have to worry about the what-ifs at that point. And so, you know, I guess I love football. I eat and sleep it. So I would love to have different leagues to hop around to, you know, the full 12 month of the year. That's where I'm sitting.
Okay, we're going to take a short break, and then I have one of our dedicated viewers and, of course, someone that I just interviewed recently, Rye McClelland, who has a question for Rids. And, Rids, if you can hang in there, Aaron, hang in there. Let's go for a short break. We'll be back after a couple of breaks here, and we'll remind you that get in touch with Rouge Radio if you want to advertise here on the Candid Frank Live Show. You can do that through Rouge Radio and speak to Jason Sperling, who will discuss whatever it is that you need to do to be a sponsor of this program. Is sponsorship a key component of making this program work? Absolutely not. Is it an opportunity for you to take part in this program and make it better? Absolutely. And that's my tag word, absolutely. So, yeah, we have a question. When we come back, Ridge will answer the question. Basically, we were skirting the issue as we were speaking here. How is it different in preparing a player to play or be a part of arena football, CFL, NFL? Is there a difference in all three of those? When we come back, Rye's question will be answered by Rids. And keep in mind, once again, you're listening to Candid Frank Alive here on Blog Talk Radio, streamed on Rouge Radio. We're here to promote the CFL, and one of the reasons why the CFL is so wonderful is because of players like this.
Travis.
Travis Lulay.
He's awesome.
Yeah, I love this guy.
He's real.
You know you like him. Loves the outdoors.
He's out there, all out, every game.
You gotta like that.
Look at him.
Always looking to land the big catch.
He's after it.
Articulate.
He's a winner.
Champion.
He's got a great cup.
He's the real deal.
Yeah, you gotta love this guy.
CFL on TSN. You need to see these guys play.
Don't forget, Mike Richards in the morning, TSN 1050. Mike Richards, he's on 1050 Chum. That's right, 1050 on your radio dial. That's 1050 AM, TSN Radio. No, we don't get any money from TSN, but we love TSN because they love the CFL and they help the CFL get more attention. And I'm doing this just because TSN is paying the CFL to be on the air. All right? That is a move that I respect. Thank you, TSN. And besides that, they have great employees and great broadcasters like Matthew Scannidi. Yes, who was on the program last year. And, of course, how can I forget Mike Hogan? The Mikester. Yes. You know, he got kind of weepy when he got the ring from the Argos for winning the Grey Cup. What a wimp. What a wimp. I would have bawled even worse.
CO2. Chad Owens, favorite player ever. He's from Hawaii, playing in the Great White North.
He's not just good, he's real good.
He's into MMA,
from the gridiron to the octagon. He's got game. This is his game.
He's the total package.
He's got the hard one. He's got a great cup. He's a family man, team player, dedication to the max.
True blue through and through.
I love watching this guy.
He's a highlight waiting to happen.
CFL on TSN. You need to see these guys play.
Don't forget, Mike Richards, TSN 1050, every morning. Did I mention that Mike Richards does a show on TSN in the morning? Have I mentioned it? Every morning. Well, I don't know if he does it on weekends, Saturday and Sunday. Does he do it Saturday and Sunday? I don't think he does. Now, there's only one thing more thrilling than getting an autograph from Chad Kackert and giving him a handshake. Great athlete like that. Great kid. You know, Coach Milanovic refers to him as the guy that when you give him work, he wants more work. Great player, to say the least. And as thrilled as I am and always am when it comes to, you know, interviewing Chad, standing in front of him and saying, "Hey, buddy, how's it going? Going good. Glad to hear it. How you feeling? You healthy? Good." There's only one other time I'm more thrilled when I go to practices is when the cheerleaders show up. And then when I get a chance to say to the cheerleaders, "Hey, girls," and they go, "Yes, Frank, would you mind doing a promo for me?" And these gals, starting with Jessica, the leader of the group, I asked them to do it, and they did this 19-second promo, and it is 19 seconds of heaven. And I won't explain to you why. I'll just ask you to listen to the commercial, and then you will understand why it's 19 seconds of heaven. Some of the sweetest ladies in our local area helping me out to promote the program that we do here on Blog Talk Radio and Rouge Radio. That's right. Candid Frank Live, the CFL show.
1, 2, 3. We're the Argos cheerleaders, and you're listening to the Candid Frank Live show.
We're the Argos cheerleaders,
and you're listening to the Candid Frank Live show.
Yay! Go Frank! Go Frank!
Go Frank!
Go Frank!
There we go, Frank.
There you go.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now,
never let it be said that I'm never grateful when pretty girls with great personalities and they're a bundle of energy don't ever believe that I don't appreciate them. Welcome back, gentlemen. Aaron William Freeland, a normal guest host on Fridays when we do our entertainment news and free-for-all Fridays, has offered to join us here tonight to discuss scouting in football and basketball, and as it turns out, a couple of references to lacrosse, which, you know, just had him drooling. But more importantly, we have a wonderful man who's done a lot to help other athletes achieve their goals and hopefully, you know, augment their talent as a football player and ensure that they end up in a situation that can advance their lives beyond the game of football, basketball, or, as stated, lacrosse. The important thing is matching a player's talent and the power they have to make it to a college and get the education that they need to make the rest of their life after they participate in either amateur or professional sport and, you know, go on to have a more fulfilling life. Our guest, of course, is Kent Ridley, and it's all about Ridley scouting and top prospects with Shamari Williams of the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Yes, he's still with the Hamilton Tiger Cats. And yes, I had to mention the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Kent, you don't realize how much I sacrifice to talk to you.
I'm surprised you haven't started referring to them as the Guelph Tiger Cats yet.
Oh, I was saving that one, buddy. And you know what? Obviously, you'll sink lower than I will.
Oh man, yeah, no, it's going to be an interesting year in Guelph, that's for sure.
You want to talk about that a little bit? Now, here's a professional team playing at a university stadium. I can't say unheard of because they do it in Laval. Not in Laval, in Montreal, and in Laval they have big crowds in their only university. So really. Are the days of university and Canadian football, and even still, even further, Laval has TELUS sponsoring them. And not only that, they've disconnected themselves from the Grey Cup game. They've made leaps and bounds, haven't they, the CIS I'm referring
to? Totally. There's, you know, some schools are making a little more of their opportunity than others are. The improvements have been made along the way. I love seeing the crowds that Laval brings in on a consistent basis. You know, I love to root against them being the strong program, but of course because of their clashes against my Dinos. But you know, you can't help but respect them for what they've built in their system there. Fantastic work. They've really helped bring football to a higher level in the province of Quebec. Their grassroots there is growing, and you know, part of that is the return of the Alouettes in the mid-90s there from the great confines of Baltimore, Maryland. But you have to give Laval a piece of that credit too, because they've put together a strong program and they're building future programs. Reaching out in their community and doing a great job of it.
And they're well deserving of the championships that they've won. You know, they've created a situation that supersedes even the CFL, where Laval, and at least the owner of the Laval Titans, or T-10, however you want to refer to them, you know, is overtly rejecting the idea of having a CFL team in Quebec City.
Yeah, and it's kind of surprising to me a little bit, but you know, I understand he's kind of protecting his brand there, and I'd love to see a way that a partnership could be made there and bring them on board. I'd love to see a Battle of Quebec on Labor Day. I think that'd be fantastic, and would only speed up the process there of growing their grassroots.
Oh, and you know what? Regardless of what level they're playing in Laval or Quebec City, however you want, again, to refer to the community as,
as long as football keeps growing, it's in the best interest of football, Canadian football, in Canada. So, you know, you can't poo-poo it either way. I mean, I would prefer to see a CFL franchise in Quebec City. But you know what? I don't live in Quebec City, so I won't bother being pretentious enough to tell Quebec City what they need or want.
Yeah, I've stepped across that boundary a few times in the past and written quite a few articles about, you know, the expansion of the CFL and what needs to, you know, where I'd like to see things grow. You know, when it comes down to it, the issue in Canada is going to be with owners and sponsors. And right now it appears, at least on the surface level, that we don't have enough of either. You know, and I'm just waiting for the day that I win a lotto down here and can go back and put a team somewhere and kind of prove some of the skeptics wrong, that some of these areas that they think won't support a team that I think will, you know, if given a chance with the product, I think the product would take off. And so, I'm a big proponent of seeing what could happen in Quebec City, in a Moncton, you know, some of these areas, if they could get a proper stadium, a proper owner, and seeing, I think, that the fan base would be there for it.
I don't doubt that for a second. You're 100% right. And, you know, but at the end of the day, you can't drag people kicking and screaming towards something that you want that you think is, you know, a great idea. They have to be willing, and you need a willing partner for something like that. To go from Laval to the Quebec whatever, you know, it is a bit of a leap, you know, and I can understand the leap of faith that the ownership of Laval would have to make.
Oh, for sure. For sure. As much as we all want to, you can't always spend everybody else's money, right? That's the end result.
Absolutely. That's totally true. And that's how I feel about it. Now, don't mind the noise of the phone ringing, because now we're going to call Chris Shivcharan. He's a new listener of mine. Part of the way we do this, just to educate you a little bit, my friend, Kent, what we do is because the program originates out of California, and to save people long distance costs, we call the listeners, and all they have to do is text me on Facebook.
Good evening, Frank.
Hey, good evening, Candid Frank Live, Stanisha. You just have to text me on my Facebook. Give me the number you want me to call, and I'll call you, and you can save the money for long distance. After all, we are part of the CFL, where low budget is part of the scheme of things. Doesn't mean the quality's low. It just means the budgets are. That's all. Chris, welcome to the program, Shivy. What did you want to say, and did you have a question for our guest, Kent Ridley?
Yeah, hey, Kent, how you doing? I just wanted to ask, in relation to, let's say, a young player coming out of the draft, what was some of the key questions you think he can ask himself? Now, how exactly would you say it's different from a player going into college as opposed to going into the pros?
Oh, okay. All right. I guess your situation going into the pros, coming out of the Canadian college system, you're going to be poked and prodded. Your name's on a set list that the teams all have access to. That they're going to take this list of 800 names and break it up amongst their staff and start, you know, whittling it down to the guys that they actually want to, you know, move forward with and or find something more out about. If you're coming out of college, you've got a pretty good idea if the CFL teams are interested in you, because you're going to get the invite to the East-West Bowl. You're going to get an invite to the Combine. You're a lot more aware of where you're sitting on that totem pole for those guys. A guy going from high school into college, you may be in the dark right up until the last moment, until the school start contacting, you know, or returning calls, returning emails. So much more on the high school level is you being proactive. It's a high school kid having to send out emails to all CIS schools.
and whatever, you know, if there's an American school close that he wants to go to or American school far away that he wants to go to, he's making that reach first. Whereas a lot of times moving into the draft, it's the opposite happening.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does, actually. Thank you. So let's just say, clearly obvious, a kid doesn't have a chance, right? I mean, do you ever tell him that? Like, I mean, do you actually come out and say, sure, you know, this is something not for you? How do you go about that? Or do you more or less see everyone that's in that position that, you know, you can develop them to the level where they think they can get?
Pretty much, like, you're meaning like a high school player that's kind of in tough for a post-secondary spot? Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Dealing with those guys, we like coming alongside them, critiquing what they've got for film. If we've had a chance to see them live, you know, we can expand on that a little more, give them some pointers of things that are possible for them. There is a moment in there where you kind of make the decision, okay, the CIS isn't looking at you. They're not returning your calls. They're apparently not interested. The beauty in Canada is you've got a great junior system underneath, and you can use that as a fallback. And the last year in BC, they've even started a second tier to their junior system. And so there is an opportunity there if they're, you know, down to the determined that they want to keep playing. There are places to end up, you know, to keep going, to kind of keep developing. You know, some players start late and you know, they've got the physical skills. They just don't have they haven't put it all together when it comes to, you know, making that move, you know, from the playbook paper into the game. And sometimes those guys, they just need some more seasoning.
Indeed. And one last question. But how old do they have to be before you seek interest in them?
Before we seek interest in them?
Like, I mean, yeah.
To put it this way, we've got our list going up to the class of 2017 right now. We're working with kids that are or trying to identify kids that won't graduate high school for another 4 years.
Okay. So that's about 14 years, so probably.
Yeah, for the most part. Yeah, give or take. And sometimes with some of those guys, one of the struggles that we have in Canada is that we've got so many different systems for high school sports. And so you've got, say, a player in Quebec, well, you know, they're done high school in grade 11 before they go off to a CJEP school. You compare that to a player in Alberta that grade 12 and that's it. And even in Alberta, that rule isn't always hard and fast. In Calgary, you can't play a fourth year of high school. But if you're in Airdrie or Cochrane, sometimes you can, depending on where your grades are. And then you've got Ontario, where they allow you to come back for a fifth year of high school if you're upgrading a certain number of classes. So it's always a tough thing because you're never 100% sure where everybody is at. When you're dealing with kids that young. So, you know, you can call him a class of 2017. You know, who knows? He might end up graduating in 2018 or however his path ends up taking him.
Okay, awesome. Well, you've been very helpful this evening. Really thorough answers. Hey, Frank, you got a real expert on tonight, buddy.
Well, of course I do. And you can thank Jason Sperling for that, the producer of the program. We're a team.
I get
to ask the questions, and all they have to do is, you know, they set them up, and I just tee them up and just let them go. Yeah, Chris, listen, you weren't at the practice today.
I wasn't. I had to go into work. My brother needed me, man.
Blah, blah, blah.
I'm not kidding.
Fair weather fan. You better
not
be.
True.
You better
family
be,
back in.
Hang on a second. Hang on a second. You'll be there tomorrow?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Are
no
you
way.
Sure?
I'll be there the pre-party as well.
Are
definitely.
You sure? Because I'm going to find out where
nothing
you live.
Yeah.
Chris, I'm going to find out where you live. You better show up tomorrow. And where are we going tomorrow before the game?
We're going to the Duke of York.
There you go. We're going to the Duke of York tomorrow. And anybody else who wants to come to the Duke of York, and when you show up, they better give us a discount. That's all I can say.
You know, the Bedford Ballroom's a lot closer.
Where's the Bedford Ballroom?
It's
and
right
I'm afraid to ask what they sell.
Ball/bar. I used to go there all the time after playing Div 3 hockey games at U of T.
Okay.
They're right across the street from Varsity Stadium.
Well, right now what we've done is, Randy Newman and John Granger have arranged for us to gather up, if you will, at, what's the name of the bar again, Chris?
Duke of York.
Thank you. That's all you have to do. Just have to say Duke of York, Duke of York. So we'll be there. And by the way, Kent, I'm sorry to interrupt this interview with a promo. And the promo is that the Argo Lifers will be at the Duke of York tomorrow. Did I mention we're going to be at the Duke of York tomorrow? I mean, really, we're going to the Duke of York, which is just one block north of the subway on Bedford, which also matches the name of the VP of the Toronto Argonauts, David Bedford. So, you know, that's how you'll remember. Just all you have to do is look up the Argo management. You'll see David Bedford. And all you have to do is go north on David Bedford. I bet you David would like to be gone north on. No, wait a minute. Hold a second. This is a different show. That's Friday.
Frank, give the time. Give the time. Remember what time it is.
What time?
People may want to know the time, Frank.
What is the time?
I think it's around 5 o'clock. Or maybe it's a little bit later
5:30.
Than that.
5:30.
Yeah.
5:30.
Yeah.
And Kent, we're inviting you as well.
Sir.
So hop on an airplane. anyway, we're going. As I said, I don't know if I said it to you, but I'm part of a fan group, and we're called the Argo Lifers. We're in Section 134B at the Sky Dome, otherwise known as the Rogers Center, and we're basically trying to change the perception of Toronto football fans. You know, we're trying to show that we have the excitement, we have the energy, and we have the passion that people in other cities in Canada don't think we have. So that's what we're trying to do. While you're working on getting the talent in all the stadiums, we're trying to get people understanding that we Argo fans can be a little over the top as well. Now, we were talking earlier, and we only brushed around it, and the issue of teams and the pattern with which they draft. The Montreal Alouettes have been known to draft offensive linemen. In fact, the ratio is a big issue in the Canadian Football League. And in your scouting plans and in how you, direct players, how important is the ratio to you?
Oh, it's incredibly important. As we want to see, you know, Canadians in every position, the result of all of the work is that teams are tending to pigeonhole things, and they'll put Canadians in specific positions. And really, there's two reasons for it. And so, you know, we're not totally blind into it. We've done a lot of our own research and discussing with guys, but the main reason is. You have to have Canadian depth for every Canadian starter. And so if you want to play a Canadian at a non-traditional, you know, to use that phrase, a non-traditional Canadian role, you're going to have to find a way to also provide the depth at that non-traditional Canadian role. And so while you don't see a lot of, say cornerback, for instance, you don't see a lot of Canadian cornerbacks make it into the CFL as a defensive player. Usually, if they're there, they're as a special teamer. Kind of the problem is, if you have a shutdown corner that's Canadian, you're also going to need to provide a Canadian as a backup in the case of injury. And, you know, the injuries aren't as big a deal
when you're working with July and August, but they're a huge deal when you're working in October, because a lot of your available talent has returned back to their CIS school to do a fifth year, and the talent that hasn't returned back to CIS, you know, they're probably 4 months out of game shape. They were in a training camp, they put in their time there, they got cut, they got released, they got injured, whatever. And when October rolls around, if you don't have somebody to back that guy up or to fill that hole, you're going to have a huge issue with the ratio. During the moment that you're supposed to be hitting your stride, you're going to be hitting a scramble, trying to make sure that you've got your Canadian depth at a strong point. So that's kind of the biggest piece to that puzzle. We've had a few players that we've worked with that have gone to university, say as a quarterback. Their university has said, okay, do you want to be a university quarterback or do you want to be a CFL player? And they have to make that hard decision along the line and then say, okay, no, I want to play pro. Those guys, most of them, are going to have to switch spots. You get a guy like a Liam Mahoney who went to Concordia as a quarterback. He was a fantastic freshman quarterback. Then he bumped down and played running back. They thought they could get him a shot at the pros as a running back. That was pre John Cornish and Andrew Harris running wild in the CFL. So then they bumped him out to a wide receiver spot. And that's how he ended up getting drafted, was finally as a wide receiver. So there are coaches out there that are paying attention to that and saying, okay, if your goal is to play pro, you know, here's the list of spots that most teams are playing their Canadians.
And you're stuck with, that ratio, which can be such a challenge, for those of you that may not understand the game of football as much as you do, let's say, hockey, or football for that matter, it's like the cap, there's a challenge to making it work because of the cap, because of the restrictions. And as you said, if you have a great Canadian player who's a cornerback, you may be forced to find a backup cornerback so that you maintain your ratio. It really is a challenge, Kent, isn't it?
Oh, and I've gone on record in a lot of publications saying that, yeah, I believe a CFL general manager is the toughest job in pro sports. And a lot of these guys look at you funny until you explain it. But, here's what they're up against. They're dealing with a 46-man roster that has to have a certain number of players with a proper passport. And then on top of that, that roster has to fit under a very low salary cap when it comes to pro sports. When it comes time to, say, replace your quarterback, when you go out shopping for a quarterback, not every day you're going to find a guy the quality, to use one of your promos that you've used here tonight, of a guy like Travis Lule that will play for the dollars that they can offer him. Whereas in the NFL, he'd be making that money, as a third-string quarterback. And here we're asking our starting quarterback to take a pay cut off of that. It takes something special to be a successful CFL general manager.
Oh, absolutely, and I don't doubt it for a second. And the hard work that needs to be done from the GM's perspective. I mean, any position that requires someone to oversee various management positions is going to be difficult. And the head coach of a CFL team is a management position, as is a scouting bureau, if you will. There are a lot of balls that, let's say, for example, here in Toronto, Jim Barker is juggling, and the toughest one, I suppose, is the ratio, because you have to make a commitment to the ratio. Not only do you have to figure out how the ratio will work for you, once you've done that, you're committed to the ratio as it stands from what you're explaining.
Oh, for sure. For sure. You have to find these guys that are utility enough, that they're flexible, that they can play, say, multiple positions on the field. They also have to be able to step up, a lot of these non-import guys are
filling in time on special teams. And, you know, so when you're developing a guy, when you've got a guy that's a diamond in the rough, you know, like let's use Toronto as an example. Let's take a guy. He's another one of my favorite guys. You take Spencer Watt. Spencer Watt wasn't invited to the main CFL combine. He accepted an invite to Dwayne Ford's invitational combine and turned heads there. And all these guys in the room were like, who is this guy? And they start looking up the stats and they go, he caught 8 footballs this year? Like, who is this guy? They bring him in, you know, and you can't make a guy that go from 8 catches at Simon Fraser and turn him into a starting receiver in the CFL. You know he's going to need at least a year of seasoning. But they had to determine that this guy was worth a draft pick, for one thing, and then had a chance to make the team, you know, filling in wherever he could. And he made the best of his situation. He went out there on special teams. He threw some blocks against guys he had no business throwing blocks against. And he worked hard, and he's there now. You know, he's a guy that, you know, if I'm Ottawa looking at the expansion draft, he's a guy I'm looking at 100%. I think this is a guy that could contribute and make an impact on my team if I was going to start a brand-new squad. And, you know, so you've got a lot of little factors. You know, you got to figure out that timeline and know that, okay, this player, you know, how many years does he have left? Does he have 2 years left or does he have 5 years left? When do we need to bring in a replacement for him? When do we have to set something up so that we've got a, you know, people talk about, like, the line of quarterbacks that Edmonton had. You know, when they brought in Wilkinson, they didn't know that 5 quarterbacks down the line was going to be Tracy Ham. But they had to continually be finding players, digging them out, putting them into winning situations where they could make those steps and improve to the level that they could be a starter.
Yeah, that's what's going on here in Toronto right now. That Toronto is still hanging on to the 5 quarterbacks they have. Now, needless to say, we know who the number 1 quarterback is. We know who the number 2 quarterback is, Jared Harris. We know who the number 3 quarterback is, Kolaris. You know, Zach Kolaris. We know he's the number 3 quarterback. But the number 4 and 5, if they're as talented as Jim Barker told me today, they could be the Tracy Ham, for all we know. So, yeah, you know, we keep talking about opportunity, you know, and I'm a firm believer of preparation, opportunity, and hard work is what equals success, and it's very important. And as far as talking about players and how you draft or how you bring in players, you know, it depends on your situation. If a player has a good year left in them or a good 5 years left in them, it's more about what you need as opposed to what they have. And that's the tough part about sports, is that the perception, which if I can take us back to where we were before, and that is where we started this discussion, where with scouting and with your help in identifying what you have that may be sellable, you know, and framing it in a way that's attractive for the people who'll be looking at this, either whether it's the paperwork, whether it's the resume, whether it's the video resume, whether it's the audio resume, whether it's the historical part of the resume. Regardless, what is important and what is the thing that drives you and your business is the fact that you have the appropriate players that teams may want and be able to, you know, I don't want to say rationalize it, but express it, if you will.
For sure, for sure. And that's with our stuff, working with these high school kids, I'm training up a group of scouts that are basically a network that's going to reach coast to coast when we're all said and done. We've had our guys in either coast that have come and gone and worked with us, but we've got a core group. And, I mean, our goal is to present information that can be trustworthy, consistent, and reliable. You know,
and accurate.
It's the same thing
that
inaccurate.
We're inaccurate.
And we're asking the same thing from these kids in high school. When they give us information, we want to know that we can trust them. You know, that it's not crazy Uncle Leo with the stopwatch timing their 40-yard dash. You know, let's be careful about what we're presenting. You know, and they got to be careful what they're presenting to us, because we have to be careful in what we turn around and present to the schools.
Absolutely.
And then the same thing happens, you know, going from college to the pros. If your information isn't reliable, you know, there's a lot of guys that get either overlooked because their stuff wasn't accurate, and so it didn't kind of match up, didn't seem to mesh. And then there's the same group of guys that, you know, they manage to get that opportunity to be seen, but then they don't present the bill of goods that they tried to sell, you know?
There you go. And that's where your identification of the talent matching the request or the need, you know, it all syncs together. Listen, I've got to take a break. I've got to go to some important messages. And first of all, the first and most important message, I was asked specifically by Jason to play this, so I better do it, or Jason may not stream my program on Rouge Radio, and we can't have that because there's nothing I like more than having as many viewers as I can. Is that okay with you, Kent?
You go ahead. Do what you got to do.
Aaron, I'm talking to you now. Are you ready to ask the question when I come back from the break?
Oh, God. I got to think of something.
Well, I'll tell you what. You got about 2 minutes. How's that?
Great.
Okay, bud.
Ridley Scouting, helping student athletes on their road to university. Check us out online at ridleyscouting.com for all the latest in high school recruiting and the CFL draft.
And in case you missed it, here it is again.
Ridley Scouting, helping student athletes on their road to university. Check us out online at ridleyscouting.com for all the latest in high school recruiting and the CFL draft.
Okay, ridleyscouting.com. Oh, and this is for Jared. Yeah, chicken crapper. You're supposed to be on tonight.
I'm pretty and witty and gay, and I pity any girl who's in me today. I feel charming, oh so charming. It's alarming how charming I feel, and so pretty that I hardly can believe I'm real. See the pretty girl in that mirror there, looking at a tractable beam. Such a pretty face, such a pretty dress, such a pretty smile, such a pretty me. I feel stunning and entrancing, feel like running and dancing for joy. For I'm loved by your pretty, wonderful voice.
I'm Quincy Hart. And I started I Believe in Me because I saw there was a need for us to believe in ourselves more than life teaches us to believe in ourselves. People believe in negative statistics, therefore they become statistics. Elementary school students and middle school students are failing and not passing their tests. High school students are dropping out at an alarming rate. The unemployment rate is at an all-time high. With self-belief, self-confidence, and an overall positive self-image, we can fix a lot of these problems that we're facing. With the positive self-image, that elementary school student and that middle school student will succeed in class and be promoted to high school. That high school student will complete high school and graduate from college. That individual that's unemployed will find a job or create work for themselves. I believe in me, therefore I have the confidence to believe in you. I believe that you will help me fulfill my desires according to the younger generation. They label Generation X. Teach them the self-confidence they need to become Generation Excellent. I believe in me. I believe in you. Join me on this mission.
is there an organization anywhere? Sorry about that, folks. I went on a rant and forgot to turn on my mic. I wanted to apologize to the Edmonton Eskimos and their fans and Jason Sperling. Now he's in BC, so probably I'll have to put up with. I have to remember what I said before I turned on the mic. I'm going to have to treat the BC Lions well, or Jason's going to remind me that I've done something horrible with the BC Lions. And, you know, this is what happens when you don't have a radio producer, someone hitting all the mic buttons and something like that there. But, you know, what can I say? I'm a amateur. That's what my father-in-law calls people who don't know what they're doing. I'm a amateur. Get it? Ham? Never mind. But anyway, it is something that I apologize for. I truly do, in all sincerity, and all the fun that I'm poking at the situation. We did neglect to talk about the Edmonton Eskimos in a protracted way that they deserved. And the Edmonton Eskimos this year are going to need all the attention they can get because it's going to be tough. My prediction is that they will not cross over this year. That door will be closed by either Winnipeg or Hamilton. I do believe that Toronto will be nip and tuck with the Montreal Alouettes. Will Toronto come out of the Eastern Division? I ain't ready to predict that. I'd like to see at least one game before I predict that. And as far as the West is concerned, Calgary, BC, Saskatchewan. And if you're Edmonton, those are three teams you don't want to play a lot, but they're going to, and that's why I'm saying they won't cross over. You know, the CFL season this year is going to be very interesting, and I am really glad that I'm involved to this extent at this time because, in fact, it's going to be a very interesting season, to say the least. Again, we'll remind you that you're listening to Candid Frank Live, streamed on Rouge Radio, on Blog Talk Radio, and we are talking to one of the biggest experts when it comes to young talent in football in Canada, and in fact, he's becoming more aware, and his organization, Ridley Scouting, is becoming more aware of the talent in basketball as well. So, Aaron, the dead mic offered you even more time because I had to repeat twice what I said because I said something while the mic was off and then had to repeat it again with the mic on. So, buddy, you're lucky. You had probably 4 minutes rather than 2 minutes to come up with a question. So it's up to you, bud.
Issue with your show when I got cut off.
Oh, are we going to start doing that? Are we going to start? You know what? A skunk just did something outside my property.
Oh, I love when that happens.
Oh, I don't. I don't. It's like when the cat looks at you and smiles. You know what I mean? That little quiet little Cheshire cat smile and lets her rip. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? But anyway, hey, listen, talk to me. Give me a question for my friend, my new friend, Kent Ridley.
Well, I'm wondering, because I know that a certain amount of getting yourself picked up and getting you looked at by a team is putting together a video resume and putting together, you know, a comprehensive package for the individual. You can go on YouTube and you can see all these different trick shot kicks and throws and stuff like that students are putting together for university, and I'm just wondering how far do you push it? How much do you try to upsell the student or you know who's looking for that college spot, who's looking for that CFL spot, and is there ever a risk that you may end up going too far, however unintentionally?
You mean for like the trick videos?
Yeah.
You know, I love the trick videos for what they are, as pure entertainment. There's a lot of pieces to them that show off a lot of great athletic skill, but not a lot of them show a lot of the ability that will translate on the field at the next level, which is kind of the unfortunate. A couple of years ago, the quarterback, or I guess he was the backup quarterback at University of Connecticut, put together an amazing trick video, and yet, you know, he never really saw the field, so it didn't really do him any good. But it did get his name out there for quite a while, and he can do some pretty amazing things with the football. I love that piece. Most recently, the young man from, I believe it's Norway, that put together that kicking video.
Yep.
Kicking across canyons and doing crazy things like that. And you know, it did enough for him to end up with a workout opportunity. So it can get your name out there a little bit more than otherwise would happen. But, you know, I see him as entertainment. When it comes down to the actual highlight reel, I've got a pretty good list of things that I want to see. And a lot of those don't include, you know, kicking two footballs at once. You know, keep sending me highlight reels that have all the trick plays in them, because I'll watch them, but it might not get you anywhere.
Fair enough. And again, it comes down to a question of is recruiting in Canada ever going to become as quote unquote big league as it appears to be in the States? I mean, you know, you see films that play up the recruiting process and hyping individual players and what have you. I'm just wondering if there's ever a danger or a risk to students of it getting to be a quote unquote mill-like situation like that here in Canada.
You know, the closest thing that we'll see in Canada to some of the chaos that goes on down here in the States is going to be with bantam midget age hockey. That's where the closest thing to that kind of chaos is happening. The other sports are kind of behind. You know, and just to compare, I mean, for those in Canada that maybe aren't following it as much of what's going on in the States, put it this way, we've got three major, you know, mega-million-dollar websites that are solely devoted to tracking high school athletes on where they go to college. And these websites have no care about covering games, have no care about covering college games, high school results, anything. It's strictly where player is going to go from point A to point B. And so that kind of piece, I don't think we'll ever see that in Canada. However, some of the recruiting violations that happen, there's a bunch that happen in Canada just as often as they happen in the States. Just, I guess the size of the potatoes aren't as big, so it doesn't make as much news. I guess that's the biggest difference.
When it hits the ground, it doesn't make as much noise.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever read about any Canadian players driving around with, you know, brand new Benzes on college campuses. So,
well, actually, yeah, that's a different. There have been, and there continue to be mistakes made by athletes and schools in regards to how the relationship between the school and the athlete is financially. A and B. You know, an athlete may be at a school and decides to change schools and doesn't do it the way it's required. You know, if you want to change schools, you got to sit out a year. And if you try not to, you end up suspended. So, you know, while you know, the issues are not as, I'm going to use this term and I don't really like it, aren't as overexposed as they are in the U.S., they do exist in Canada as well, and there are rules that need to be applied by the athlete and the school. Yes, athletes do cross the threshold of what they're allowed to do, and it leads to suspensions. But I think the important issue here is to be aware before it happens rather than talk about what happens after it happens. So, you know, and in that regard, I think it's important to note that athletes have a responsibility, as do the schools. You know, and we understand that. But more importantly, what we're talking about here today is how to avoid ending up in that position, which is why companies like Kent Ridley Scouting are required and why there have to be people who understand the way the system works so that you don't end up on the wrong side of a decision.
Exactly. There was a case a year ago in Ontario. And I won't name schools because I don't want to put anybody in a bad light. But a young man had committed to an Ontario school, and he, you know, signed his letter of intent and the whole deal, and had followed up on an old phone message calling a school out of in a different conference, just returning their call. that school was kind of put behind the eight ball, that they had to report it, that this individual with a signed letter of intent had contacted them. And in the end, he ended up losing his scholarship in Ontario, and he couldn't take the scholarship anywhere else because he had already committed. And it was just a bad situation for everybody involved over, a harmless mistake, in the eyes of some. Some people would be in an uproar about the legalism of it all. But in playing by the rules, this young man got caught in the crossfire. And so that's a situation that we'd love to, step up and help educate the families beforehand and try to avoid that, seeing anybody sit out a year for a mistake is something I hate seeing, but it does happen every single year that there's issues like that.
Okay, Aaron, listen, thank you for helping me out here and, as usual, being a great right-hand man for me. And I look forward to us getting together on Friday. And as I said, in the future, you're going to get to talk to with, of course, Jessica and Kent, their release approval. We'll have her on the program. We'll talk about some country music. We'll maybe even listen to a couple of tunes, and we'll help promote our new friend. Thanks, Aaron.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you, Kent.
Thanks. Thanks for being on with me.
And listen, and Kent, I really appreciate. I find it hard to believe each time we do these programs, and I sit here and I'm going to say to you what I say to other people, Kent. We've been on for 2 hours. Where did the time go?
it's been pretty easy. 2 hours, I think.
Well, good. I'm glad because what we like to do on this program is we like to explore. Not only what we want to know, but we also want to share what you want to tell us and what you want to leave us with. So on that note, please leave us with as much time as you need to express what it is that you're trying to do. Encapsulate it.
Encapsulate. There's a good word of the night there.
You're welcome.
Definitely, situation is that the athlete in Canada isn't a step below the athlete in the U.S., and don't let anybody tell you that. There's quality athletes in major centers, in minor centers, and the biggest thing is just getting yourself known and getting yourself out there. A key way to do that would be to go to topprospects.ca, sign up for the free profile, and I'll stress that again. It's 100% free to sign up, get a profile, and have coaches from coast to coast and across the United States come view your profile. Your number one thing once you've got your profile online is to make sure your information is accurate and that you have as much information available as possible. And that means a highlight reel, a grade transcript, a contact information for your coach as well as for yourself. And, be honest. If you're 5'8", put 5'8". Don't try to stretch yourself out to 6 feet because when they meet you, they'll know it's not true. But make sure your profile is accurate. Make sure you're taking advantage of all of the free aspects there that are made available to you. And we'll help take it the next step. There's lots of options of ways we can help you out between sending out your profile to schools to helping you take your profile, fix up your highlight reel, suggest courses that you need to take to get to where you want to be. We can help you through the whole process. And so definitely head to topprospects.ca, get your free profile, and get that ball rolling.
And I wish you all the best in all your future endeavors, your present endeavors, any endeavor you're in. And I really do look forward to interviewing your wife, Jessica. And, Kent, thank you for we only intended to do an hour, and somehow it blew up to 2 hours. I hope I didn't bore you, and I hope you had a great opportunity to say what it is that you want to get out there.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, for sure. And any time you want me on, just let me know.
Thank you, sir. I really appreciate Kent Ridley Scouting, and top prospects with Shamari Williams of the Toronto Argonauts. No, actually, he's Hamilton Tiger Cats. You can tell him I said that. God, I can't believe I have to mention the Hamilton Tiger Cats more than once in the program. God, I've got some bile coming in my mouth right now just thinking about it. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, listen, love the Tiger Cats. And again, thank you, sir, for taking the time. It's been a long night, but you've done yeoman service, and I don't mean that by the York yeoman, but I mean it as you've provided a yeoman service. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. Kent Ridley, top prospects, Ridley Scouting. We'll try to hook you up with this. If you heard about this program and if people want to listen to this program, the beauty of Blog Talk Radio is that I have a library of programs that are on. All they have to do is they come to Blog Talk Radio and they can either... I'll make sure that I make it work anyway, that they can search in Blog Talk Radio Top Prospects, Ridley Scouting, and this program will come up. If you want to recommend it to any friend or any other athlete that may want to hear about this guy, Ridley, Kent, who is working really hard and diligently to ensure that as many of the talented players that find themselves in this great country of red and white known as Canada, get the opportunity to either fulfill their dreams in college here in Canada, university football, if you will, college football in the United States, or even beyond that to the Canadian Football League, where my team, the Toronto Argonauts, that play at the Rogers Centre, in Section 134 is where you'll find us. We are the Argo Lifers. This program is dedicated to the CFL fans in Canada and most of all to the CFL fans in Toronto that want to prove to those of us who don't believe that Toronto fans can be really excited about football. This is the place where we try to, if you will, rationalize that thought. So thank you for tuning in. I'm trying to think of what I should play on the way out. What should I play on the way out? Well, I got DJ's interview on Monday, or CJ's interview on Monday. Sorry, CJ. I shouldn't have referred to you as DJ. Hey, you know what? It is hockey season still, just for a little while longer. So maybe we'll go out with the hockey song. One of my favorite Canadian artists, someone that Jessica... Ridley can be proud of and relate to. The young man's name, he passed away just a few short months ago, Stompin' Tom Connors, and this is the hockey song.
Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. Second period, where players dash with skates of flash, the home team trails behind. But they grab the puck and go bursting up, and they're down across the line. They storm the crease like bumblebees, they travel like a burning flame. We see them slide the puck inside, it's a 1-1 hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. Third period, last game in the playoffs, too. Oh, take me where the hockey players face off down the rink, and the Stanley Cup is all filled up for the champs who win the drink. Now the final flick of a hockey stick and a one gigantic scream. The puck is in, the home team wins the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
Yeah, baby, he shoots and scores. Thank you for tuning in, everyone. We're here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Monday is Argo Night. Not Argo Not, Argo Night. Wednesday is CFL. Candid Frank Live, the CFL show, the Canadian Football League show. And Friday, Aaron W. Freeland and I get to go nuts and talk about stuff that we want to talk about that has nothing to do with the CFL. In fact, we'll be talking more and more about the OLA and the NLL a little bit when the information requires it. And also, Jarrett, tired Jarrett, my gosh, Jarrett. Friday is also, are you ready for this, for all you Ticat fans, is Feline Friday. So if we have something to talk about when it comes to the Hamilton Tiger Cats, that's the night we'll talk about it. Monday Argos, Wednesday CFL General and CIS. After that, the first hour normally is CFL, the second hour is CIS, and on Friday, you know, we just have fun. We talk to actors. We've talked to stunt workers, stunt performers. We've talked to, oh, I'm trying to get, and she better free up some time, because we're going to talk Blue Jays baseball with the same lady. We're going to talk about sadomasochistic sex on Friday. And this lady is, you know, master, jack of trades, master of none. Maybe master is not the right word to use at this point. But anyway, my name is Frank Stanishi. Thank you for tuning in to Candid Frank Live here on the Blog Talk Radio, streamed on the Rouge Radio. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, shut up. Don't you hate it when your wife is your liquor control board? I know I do. Okay, thanks for tuning in, everybody. See you later. I need to go to bed. I'm tired. It's been a long day.